guess I will call meeting to order. The Lapine Urban Renewal Agency meeting for Tuesday, October 2nd, I'm called to order at 3 p.m. Status of quorum. Andrea?
Andrea Heim.
Vicki Russell.
Craig Hayden.
And Connie Breese. So Stu Martinez was present by, or absent by prior arrangement. And Ann Gaywith was planning to be late. And we have not heard from Gail.
Jean,
sorry. She's new, so I didn't remember her name right.
Yes.
Jean. But we do have a quorum with four of us, so we should be good. So first item on the agenda is Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Does anybody have any added agenda items?
I'd like to add a Safe Routes to School grant application for discussion.
Does anybody have any objections? I'd like to add, and it could actually go into the update from League of Oregon Cities Conference, I guess. It was related to that, should I just leave it there?
If you'd like.
Okay.
Here's
just to chat about a potential development tax that's related to affordable housing that a lot of districts are using, and even it seems that Builders Association seem to be in favor of. So I thought that was interesting that they were in favor of it. Anyway, we can chat about it if everyone's okay with that. And really quickly, item number 9 should actually be item number 5. It should be public comment at this time. It's kind of irrelevant because we have no public. But that one didn't get moved up where it should be. And then on to approval for meetings for September 4th.
I'll make a motion. We approve the meeting minutes September 4th, 2018.
I second it. I third it.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Approved. Right through to item number 6, update on League of Oregon Cities Conference.
So I'm going to be brief. I didn't plan this all that well because I did not attend the Urban Renewal Breakout Sessions at LOC. Melissa did, and she's not here with us today. So I did go back and review the materials that they had posted on the League of Oregon Cities Conference website, and all of you were sent a PowerPoint presentation. It's fairly high level. It doesn't have a lot of details within it. I think maybe having Melissa talk about that to a degree next month might be worthwhile. And then I also noticed there was a more extensive PowerPoint that pertained to the luncheon housing component. And I almost sent that out, except when I was looking through that, I went, interesting. I wonder if that is something our Urban Renewal Agency board is interested in, or, and I didn't get an answer to this question because I was thinking about it this morning, and I haven't had any time to talk to anybody. I don't know if the way our Urban Renewal Agency was created, housing was, if that was included in the plan as a breakdown of ways to spend the funds. So I didn't send that, but it is a really interesting PowerPoint. I have a feeling that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's exactly from the luncheon is what I'm talking about. And what they did was combine, so at League of Oregon Conference, at League of Oregon Cities Conference, there was two. The first day was split up almost half and half between Urban Renewal Conference for some people and housing for some people. We chose as a city that Melissa would cover Urban Renewal for us and I would cover housing. And so, but at lunch we all came together, those two committees that had been in each conference. And it was a spin on urban renewal that I had not heard of, how different cities were using urban renewal dollars to help with their housing crisis.
Hmm.
And that the state approved that you can put a 1% tax on construction within the city, and that goes towards affordable housing. And the interesting thing I found with that is my background is construction, you know, and most of the time when you start saying tax, the builders associations are all about, no, don't tax us anymore, don't tax construction anymore. But apparently it's the builders associations that have actually brought it to a lot of cities and have been completely in support of it. And Bend actually has this tax, and we had it before the state said that they could do it. So it's something that I thought that, and obviously Corey brought up that when the Urban Renewal District was formed, there are certain things that we're allowed to do in our district as it was created, and there are certain things that were not. Because we had to decide, thanks Holly, had to decide when it was created what we were going to use the funds for. And whether we did that or not is something that we're going to have to look into. But knowing our situation with housing, and but it was just interesting to see the different ideas. And Corey could send us that video or that PowerPoint as well.
I'll send it out. It's really the projects kind of irregardless of the funding mechanism, but the funding mechanism is a critical component, are impressive, are pretty darn impressive. And so, yeah, I'll send that out. It's like a 55 slide PowerPoint, but it talks about, you know, smaller cities, whether it's John Day or, you know, kind of heading towards more medium-sized cities in the valley or whatnot, trying to be proactive about addressing affordable housing issues. So I'll send that out. And then if all of you are curious, I'm happy to do some digging and kind of find out a little bit more about what is in our plan and what latitude do we have to do something like that. Is that something that had to be kind of done up front, or is it something you can do now in terms of the 1% piece?
Right. So I don't know if that's of interest, and welcome Anne.
Thank you.
I don't know if that's of interest to anybody to look into, if that's something as a board we, you know, would like to look at being proactive about, or, you know.
Absolutely, that's outrageous. Do you know how long the tax has been enforced in Bend, and possibly how much money has been raised?
I don't off the top of my head. I know, like I mentioned, that Bend actually implemented this tax before the state implemented, and Vicki may have, do you remember when that?
I don't
seems
remember,
like it was
but
four
they
or
have,
five years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, they've had, that's where they had, you know, they had $1 million to put towards this project, and, you know, it's gained a lot of revenue from them. And I think it's worth us looking into it. I think we still have some development in what we're going to do in our funding process,
sure,
to start with, but I think it's really important we're forward thinking.
So my brain's a little bit on overload from the conference. It always is. It's like shove everything you can in there in 3 days, and my brain's only so big. But I do remember it must have started quite some time ago, because the comment that I heard from Casey Rhodes was that they had money to lend as a city because of this funding tax,
mm-hmm,
during the downturn when no one was lending money. So, and it was because they had this reserve that they could actually use that and leverage those dollars to do that during the downturn. So, you know, obviously it's not huge, but if it's collected and, you know, built up over time, especially in a period of growth like we're in now, then eventually it could serve us well in the future, which is uncertain economically.
Well, Bend was number 4 for national growth of all of the cities. Texas, you know, is still ahead of us. But when you look at that, that just means Lapine is going to have more growth and more need, because the market is such in Bend and the land, you know, the small lots, the homes, you know, 350 puts you on, you know, you're lucky 4,000 to 6,000 square foot lot, and you're lucky if you can do that for 350. So.
Right.
So it'd be really worth looking at, because I think Bend or Lapine is going to grow.
It's going to grow. Absolutely.
Yeah. Honey, is there some way, assuming that Corey determines that it is within our parameters or could be incorporated in our parameters, is there some way to follow up on that, get more information? I'd be delighted to do that. If you can give me a name or an entity for further exploration, just to see.
I think that you will have like at least several cities
there
presented during the lunchtime. I mean, there was, like Corey mentioned, John Day. Were you there for the luncheon, Corey?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I missed that, but I went and looked. Is John Day, Albany, Lebanon, Wilsonville, Medford, Sherwood, Talent, and Coos Bay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there were quite a few that used this tax and used, you know, that talked about creative ways to combine urban renewal and affordable housing. So just something to, I don't know if you have any thoughts.
So look at that first and then go from there.
Yeah, I
okay.
think we need to get the details on it. And it'd be nice to know the revenue and the building, the timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's they do a really good job in the PowerPoint of kind of each project, and then breakdowns of partners, funding, timeline, you know, how it all came together, the kind of pro forma nuts and bolts of it. This is not very conclusive, but I did just go to our urban renewal plan and our urban renewal report, and this is plan part two, it's loading right now, and searched housing, I got no hits. So it'll be interesting to kind of figure out, and do some follow-up on how those connect. Yeah.
Thoughts, Craig?
I remember one of the comments, I think Ann made at one of the first meetings I attended this agency, that there was a certain amount of flexibility of things we could do. It might be pretty easy to add this in, I'm hoping. And the other comment the other evening in our city council work session, we had an issue come up with housing. And anything we can do, I think, is a positive step forward.
Yeah, and I know you kind of came in on the tail end of
that.
Yeah,
I'm familiar with what you're talking about somewhat. I mean, I never thought about it as in terms of what as being part of the Urban Renewal Agency, but I kind of like the idea. I think that I think it's a good fit for it as an agency. So if there's a way we can do it,
So I guess it's just, direction would be to look into see what one is a part of what our urban renewal, the overview of what we can do with our agency, and two, what are the specifics about that particular tax on construction.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought it was pretty favorable that the Builders Association it actually brought it to some cities.
And you're familiar with that group, so if you're
yeah,
for us, that's really impressive.
Yeah, so, anyways, any other thoughts before we move on?
Look into it.
Yeah.
And other than that, I think we could probably move that item number six to when Melissa's back, to have her circle around and give us an update on what she learned, because she spent all day and she in that urban renewal conference that first day, and I know that she said that there were some exciting things that she was interested in, so I'd like to have her bring that back.
Good. We'll plan for 5 weeks from now, November 6th, at our next meeting, we'll have an update from Melissa on her time at the conference, and then a follow-up in terms of what we can find on whether it's in our plan, whether we can amend the plan and add it, you know, what that construction tax piece looks like in relation to urban renewal, or was it separate or whatnot. And then we'll send out the PowerPoint in the meantime as well.
Great, thanks, Corey. All right, moving on to discussion on storefront improvement program.
So, don't have too much on this. Was hoping to kind of do an overview for our newest urban renewal member. I did email you, Anne, in terms of looking ahead, kind of looking ahead quite a ways out to, say, December, mm-hmm. I think is what I inquired about originally.
For breakfast,
for a chamber breakfast. Yeah. And it might not even need that much time.
Okay.
5 minutes might be enough. Just to kind of get it in front of those folks who could be potentially eligible in the district area.
Sure.
So I'll circle around with you on that. Otherwise, we're still just working on the documents behind the scenes, still incorporating that feedback in terms of informational materials, brochure, pre-development application, kind of the nuts and bolts of how we're going to implement the program. And then we'll come back. We'll have some more next month in terms of some of the other details for you to look at. But we're still aiming towards, I'd say, kind of December for there probably being some action. Maybe it might need to be by resolution or some kind of a formal mechanism through the Urban Renewal Agency to adopt and kind of implement the program. So. We'll make sure that's not a surprise. I'd say next month is going to be really critical in terms of kind of behind-the-scenes documents, and then probably adoption in December, and then a rollout as we head into December or January. And I think we talked last month about keeping the application open until like middle of February, mm-hmm. and then allowing the board, all of you, or others as well, potentially at that point, to make decisions on which projects to.
Corey, question for you, tying with the chamber breakfast. Would it not make sense to have a brochure of some sort ready before the chamber breakfast to be able to hand out to the attendees?
That'd be the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would think that, is it the third Friday in December? And
yes.
The 21st. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I still think that's probably our target date to have information to share with folks. It doesn't have to be, you know, the program tentative or technically could already be open before then. That's just an opportunity to get in front of. Or is attendance generally still good?
It's still probably the December breakfast is probably the least
the
amount,
least
but
attended.
Yeah, the least attended. But for whatever reason, but you're still going to reach 70, 75 people.
And we'll coordinate on. Hopefully getting it inserted in the buzz and things like that.
Yeah, and we've already, you know, we've been talking about the fact that this is coming, and,
okay.
and so there's some buzz out there already, people.
Nice, yeah. That's exciting. So I'd say, yeah, really, you know, staff working over the next month, 5 weeks to really get those documents in place, hopefully have most, if not all of those here for all of you to feel really comfortable about, shore up the kind of the nuts and bolts of the program, prep an implementing document over the course of November and into early December, and then, you know, middle of December onward will really be just awareness and working with prospective applicants on understanding what's eligible, what's not eligible, and kind of going through the process. And again, it's going to be a pilot project in terms of who, you know, how many people are interested, how do we get support and get interest. So I know that's kind of just a high-level update, but just to keep you all aware that we're working on that, and I think we're still on good track to meet that timeline, as long as that sounds like a good timeline to all of you.
So tying in with that, then, logically, we have an announcement information in the January issue of the New Great Eagle?
Yeah, that could work well. I think if you, I'll make a note about that if you could remember
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
I think it'd
sure.
be a team effort in terms
yeah.
of getting all the word out everywhere. I think that sounds good. That still gives us plenty of time, even if we push the application deadline back into, say, early, you know, March 1 or March 15,
mm-hmm.
it still gives us lots of time into June, July, August for work to be done. So.
Anybody else have any thoughts, questions about the storefront program? No? Okay. All right. This meeting is flying right by. Discussion on fall-winter meeting schedule.
So next month, the November 6th, which is the first Tuesday in November, we'll have several items worth talking about. You know, obviously update from LOC and the housing component, continuation of the storefront improvement program, but also was hoping or planning to have some materials from the city's engineer regarding the Transit City Center project and getting some kind of final input and buy-in from all of you in terms of elements, amenities, priorities that you would like to see in there. And then also, to a degree, starting to refine a little bit maybe what the board is comfortable with in terms of contribution to that project, if any, from the Urban Renewal Agency. We've got a lot of balls in the air in terms of how and when exactly we're going to pay for that. But first, we need to solidify the site plan and come up with a cost estimate, and then break it out into, you know, phase one, phase two, phase three, etc. And obviously, we want some work done next summer, but it might be elemental in terms of parking or whatnot. We've got to kind of solidify some of these moving pieces. And so where I'm going with that is that the engineer and the landscape architects are working on finalizing the concept drawings that all of you saw and participated with U of O in. They're going to be bringing that to council, city council, in October. We're going to be sharing that with the public at the town hall barbecue on October 25th. And I had a reminder in staff comments. I'll say it again, even though almost all of you, besides you, Craig, not odd man out, but we're at the steering committee meeting when we talked about kind of setting that date and what the topic would be. So anyways, we're going to go council, you know, share it with the community, and then not that it's after the fact, but talk about it with Urban Renewal as well, just in terms of any other components that you think Urban Renewal should really emphasize. Maybe it's not, we're going to contribute this portion to the overall project. We want to contribute towards this piece of the project, if that makes sense. So I just want to mention that for the November meeting, that'll be a busy meeting. December, I still think there will be some important pieces to have a December meeting. And I know this is kind of ahead of the game, but I just figured, why not? Let's, you know, how fast the next couple months can go. So that'd be December 4th. We'll have things to talk about, probably things for all of you to make potential motions on and approve. So keep that on your calendar, please. And then when we go into January, that's when things get a little weird. The first Tuesday is January 1st. We won't be here for that. Yes. And then the other wild card is that of the council members who are on the Urban Renewal Board, will no longer be Urban Renewal Board members. Stu and you.
Yeah.
So at that point, we will have to get the council together and let them have, and this generally does happen, I would say, in the probably the work session of January. Let everybody get situated a little bit, and then maybe the second half of the month talk about assignments in terms of who's on economic development, who's on urban renewal, COIC, et cetera, et cetera.
So are we going to try and move that January meeting to the 8th? Is that the...
Well, I'm wondering, I mean, if we're rolled out in terms of the storefront program, and if all of you have made input and commitment to the Transit City Center project, the vibe that I got from the last meeting, and tell me if I'm wrong, but in terms of like the banner conversation, is kind of like, hey, we're not really looking for more side projects at this point. We got our eyes on one or two or three things. Maybe we take January off, and maybe we just come back in February 5th, and regroup at that point with kind of doing, I don't want to say an orientation, but a reminder, bring everybody who's new up to speed and deal with issues at that point, and then probably not until March. There would be maybe some decisions in March or April regarding awards for the grant for the storefront improvement program. So I'm just throwing that out there just to kind of be ahead of it so we know where we're all
sitting. Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of is that the storefront loan program just takes off when we have applications to review at that point.
So my thought was that we would open it up for probably a month to a month and a half, and allow people time to kind of digest what it is, set up a pre-app, come in, sit down, learn, work behind the scenes on, you know, this is, because we still haven't addressed whether we're going to provide architectural assistance or whatnot, so it's going to take them some time to kind of come up with some application concepts, and I think we can be very flexible, but I think allowing time for them to do that, and then just a hard deadline, and if we get 2 or if we get 20, just sort through them when the time comes, and maybe even have multiple, not I don't want to say necessarily multiple meetings in February or March, but just some time, there may be a work session environment where you can roll your sleeves up at the table and like really spread out all the materials and kind of go through it.
Well, is Melissa going to be receiving those applications and working with them? Is that kind of the...
As the community development director and someone who is most familiar with the code, I would say that her, in conjunction, maybe even with, just to be proactive, with the building department in terms of any permits they would need from the county, you know, structural, electrical, so that they know all in what are the components that they need or boxes they need to check along the way to do the project right and by the book. But yeah, so that's my long answer of saying yes. Sorry.
All right, any other comments on the schedule?
So I think that sounds fine. January
off at this point.
Okay. And then
some
that's
changes,
con- yeah.
Some changes.
Exactly. And that's contingent on, you know, December really, us checking all the boxes we need to do in the next October, November into December. So we're in good shape.
Okay. All right. Then on to other matters, and so the Safe Route to School grant application.
So the city working with the school district have been working on accessing some Safe Routes to School grant dollars through ODOT. So House Bill 2017 through the legislature, they passed a large transportation package, and they're going to be contributing quite a bit of dollars to funding Safe Routes to School. So it's really focusing on infrastructure, things in the right of way, sidewalks, crosswalks, things like that, within a mile of schools. And we're pretty well positioned because not only do we have one school in the downtown area, we have 3 schools in the downtown area. And we also have Roslyn, so we're not leaving Roslyn out. I think early on, the identification and conversation was that the downtown area, the downtown school campus complex is low-hanging fruit. Roslyn, to be honest, is kind of out there on an island. You know, Burgess doesn't have sidewalks. There's a lot of things that don't, it's a heavier lift. And the city's working on, this is something, sorry, I'm kind of going scatterbrained here, but it's, I think city staff can do a better job of keeping the Urban Renewal Board informed of all the projects the city's working on, because there really are a lot of potential overlaps. So we're working on a multi-use path with the county to get an easement to connect maybe Roslyn and Wickham Junction area with the city and whatnot. And maybe there's a role Urban Renewal could play in a portion of that as well. Set that over there, set Roslyn over there. We're working with Lapine Elementary. We got an action plan put together. We are prepping a grant application that's due in 2 weeks for some serious improvements on Coach Road. So sidewalks on the east side, there currently are no sidewalks there. There are no crosswalks on Coach Road other than at the First Street intersection. And there could be some improvements at that intersection as well. You start to really think about this. You got the library, the Parks Building, K-12, you know, that area should be hyper-connected and really oriented around walkability and pedestrian friendliness. So we've been working with City Engineer, putting together a grant application. It's going to have a couple crossing locations on Coach, slow traffic down, improve sidewalks and streetscapes, street trees, other things like that. And we think it'll be pretty competitive. One thing that we're kicking into high gear, better late than never, is kind of working with partner entities to provide letters of support and or maybe a little skin in the game. And the city, in my mind, would be the main contributor to the match of the project. And right now, project cost, we're probably looking at, I'm gonna say $400,000. As a city, as title, I'm gonna blank on this. I'm gonna get the wrong title. As a low income, lower income, reduced lunch eligible type school, we don't have to put in as much match. So we're probably looking at like 10 to 20% match. So you're looking at like $40,000 to $80,000. That's very manageable. The more you put in, the better, you know, not up to 60 or 80% or anything. But, and so I was wondering if it made sense, and it might even be, I don't want to say a token amount, but kind of a more of a symbolic amount from the Urban Renew Agency to say, hey, you know, we've prioritized the safety improvements. We are investing in the built environment in downtown, which is absolutely in the Urban Renewal Plan. Maybe Urban Renewal can be on board for a portion of the funding. And then also even send like a letter of support. You know, so we would, staff would draft that, and we could get it to Chair Breeze to sign if all of you were in favor of that. But given the timing, I wanted to put it in front of all of you because we will not meet again until that application is, it will be submitted by November. So anyways, I think that kind of outlines it. Love to answer any questions or anything.
So thoughts on financial contribution and letter support? And or?
Yeah, the downtown area, the schools, library, everything is there. It's probably easier to work on that area. But once again, I'll point out, Kegel Edition, Wiki Up, it's a red-headed stepchild, and sooner or later, the city's gonna have to focus on that area. I don't know what it's gonna take, but this may be one of the fewer last chances I get to plug.
You can come take? Back to the Urban Renewal Board to say, as a citizen, just saying.
What does it take, Corey?
Well, I agree with you, but we also have to look at, you know, that's a neighborhood and this is a school. And so I think
Rosalind is up there.
Yeah, if you start putting all of those elements in place, and it's kind of like a checklist. And Kegel, I think everybody is aware of the Kegel neighborhood and what needs to be done, especially when you go from Wikiup to Huntington Road, right in that area, what's developing out, you know. And so, but I'm in support of us looking and doing what we can for being part of this project and the grant.
Yeah.
I think we can get a good bang for our buck out of it, actually.
Yeah, you talked about that low-hanging fruit piece. That really, it's so such a consolidated area. I think you could make a real impact in there. I think in some ways, I think we're going to have to pay attention to the fact that a lot of that street is used, for instance, Ace Hardware uses that for their employee parking back there. And so I think we've got to be a little bit sensitive to some of those things as well.
We talked, Eric Huffman, our engineer, and I talked about that this morning. And based on the survey work that he's looked at, their fence is far in to their property from the right-of-way line.
Mm-hmm.
So we're thinking it wouldn't be too challenging to move the fence to the right-of-way line, and then they can park inside. It's kind of one of those.
It should be safer than them backing out into a safe route to school.
Yeah,
it's. But you're right. Being sensitive of working with a business owner who's they've been doing it that way forever.
So yeah.
Side note, but we also I think would like to, and I don't know whether it's the city or the Urban Renewal Agency. In terms of starting the conversation, helping is a whole other thing, but maybe, you know, what would it take for them to change their fence. It's a chain link fence with barbed wire on top right now in the heart of our downtown. Could we make that look a little nicer, maybe? You know?
It could be
in the
that
process.
Could be part of that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that falls into the storefront. I mean, it's not a traditional storefront, but
sure.
It is a new part of what makes it look like what it is. Yeah.
Your point is well taken. I just wanted to acknowledge that I wasn't trying to sidestep. Say it's on our radar.
Well, and then you have, you know, the Jaybird Inc. and that business there. You know, he parks, of course, he shouldn't park there probably, but still, you know, there again, he's parking right there on the corner. And a lot of traffic now comes in and out of that driveway since they made that kind of a drive-through from Ace Hardware out to Coach.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and that's almost right at the current crosswalk, the corner.
Just need to get a stop sign there so everybody,
children
at play, school zone, get a few signage up there.
Yeah.
So Corey, we don't have to determine the dollar amount. We just need to put a motion together that we are in support of this. Or do you want us to look at our budget and say we want to?
Yeah, good question. We talked about during the budget process in spring about having those dollars available for those minor enhancements with an emphasis toward safety.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if in terms of putting some skin in the game and leveraging dollars, it might make sense, and I'm talking an amount like, I don't know, $5,000 or $10,000, a portion of that, to say, hey, we're willing to put that on the table in this grant application if we get it. That's where the funds go. If we don't get it, it's still there.
We have more money coming, you know,
mm-hmm.
Soon. And for some reason, $1,000 is a reasonable number to put out there, and also helps the city, and it shows we're definitely. And that was my thought process. May not be everybody else's thought process. So.
I wondered if we could be creative with that and maybe instead of putting it in the actual grant, in with the grant money that pays for the sidewalks itself, if we don't do something like, this is how the Urban Renewal Agency is supporting the businesses
mm-hmm.
that are affected by these safe routes to school, and instead put the money towards the fence at Ace Hardware or the businesses
mm-hmm.
or
but
like
as
that.
I understood what Corey had to
yeah.
say, we have to put we have to show dollars towards this if in the grant. And when I read a lot of grants and things, that is a really critical piece. That it's not that we can manipulate outside of the grant. It's that we either are in and participate in that or we're using another program, you know, because I think that's really what the piece is and what I heard and what we would need to do is we would need to say we're in. Now, whether we go back and say we put our $10,000 in and we would like to see this happen, but you have to be careful that we're not developing a program inside of what the grant is requiring and they want a commitment.
Right. Well, I think they want a commitment from the city.
Well, and what Corey is
asking. And support from the
Urban Renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And financial support is what Corey asked for, the Urban Renewal. So I think we have to be clear in that we're not working another program inside of a request for a grant. That's just what I heard, you know, and what
okay,
I
that wasn't the way I heard it, so that's why I suggested an alternative.
If there was desire to do both, we could do both. The contribution towards the grant would just be them seeing that another entity, another agency is interested in this project, supports this project, is willing to put a small amount of contribution towards this project. In terms of working with the business owners, we could absolutely also on the side, parallel track,
right.
If we
mm-hmm.
get the grant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, these improvements should happen at some point down the road, no matter what, but the grant opportunities really is what's precipitating
right.
it. So if we got the grant, we could also circle around and work with the property owner on how to, property owners, on how to address some of those issues.
So do we specifically need to, when you were saying some skin in the game, so when we support this project, are you asking for Urban Renewal to participate and say, when we sign the letter, we are willing to put $5,000 towards this project, $10,000 towards this project? And then once, and then if we don't get the grant, we're not committed, but we can maybe use that in a, you know, another program. But that's what I understood and heard. And is that right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, looking for, if all of you want to support it through a letter and or through a financial component as well. The city is going to be the applicant, essentially. And then there's other partners who, you know, I'm expecting to get a letter of support from the Park District, but I'm not going to go ask the Park District for money. There's letter of support from the library, we're not going to go ask them for money. So it'll be, and obviously the school district as well. I was talking with Bruce Abernathy this morning, our grant writer. So kind of bringing all those pieces together, but I saw a unique opportunity with Urban Renewal Agency. I mean, we have $50,000 budgeted in this fiscal year for those, and taking a portion of this towards that could, you know, might give a boost to the application and also allow the agency to say, hey, look, you know, without us going and working a project, which takes a lot of time and energy, it's like we're kind of layering on. It always helps staff. It's like, let's just kind of make this really happen, and then that would be a great project.
Do you have a sense, Corey, of what would be a reasonable amount?
Yeah, I think $5,000 to $10,000 would be plenty. I mean, it is more of a symbolic. That's not going to build a lot of concrete or asphalt, but that's okay. You know, again, the match component is fairly small. So if you say that the you know, the city's contributing the bulk of that, which could be, you know, the 40 to 60 to 70 piece, and Urban Renewal's coming in with 5 or 10. That's great. I think 10 is totally reasonable and a significant amount given what our budget is and where we're at and the location of the project and everything. So,
why don't you make a motion?
I'd like to move that the Urban Renewal in support of the Safe Route to School grant contributes $10,000 towards the support of this grant.
I second the motion.
Any other discussion? Okay. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right. There we go.
And Corey, question?
Yes.
A letter would obviously be good. Would you like one of us to write it? I'd volunteer to write it. Or do you already have kind of a letter in mind?
We're going to be working with letters that
she needs to sign it as the chair.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. What? She Connie needs to sign it officially as the chair.
I just meant drafting it.
Oh, drafting.
That's all I meant. No, just drafting it.
We'll have language that I can write it.
Okay.
I'm going to be for the next
grant writer.
This is taking up large portions of my calendar because, and I didn't mean to bring it kind of at the 11th hour, but it's kind of just better late than never. So.
No, and I wouldn't say, I'm definitely in support of it. I think it's a great way to leverage a lot of dollars, especially if we're on the, you know, have a low end of contributing on that kind of a grant. I think it's great. I just like to be creative to see if there's other ways that we can, you know, do that. And if we could somehow, you know, it's a big thing in a small town to, you know, like Ann said, all of a sudden they're going to put in sidewalks, and the way we've been doing this in our business for so long can be overwhelming and can be the difference of that business supporting us or not supporting us. And so if there's some way that we can be creative and proactive in saying this is going to happen, but we have some money set aside to maybe help with you know, how you're going to be affected by these changes.
Yeah, the goodwill would go a long way, I think.
Great ally.
Exactly.
Well, I think John, it will be positive for John.
Yeah.
Might not be positive if you're parking where the sidewalk's going to be.
Right.
And we'll, I think what we can commit to do is all remember to track, you know, the status of the grant. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, you know, reach out and let them know that, hey, this is, this is going to change. You know, it might be this soon based on this grant, or it might be a couple years or a few years down the road, but just let them know that this is something that is technically not the way it's supposed to be done for a variety of reasons. And so we will do that. We'll reach out, and then we'll obviously keep all of you informed as soon as we hear back from the grant. And then if we get it and the project's going to move forward, let's have a discussion about engaging on that other mm-hmm. component.
That's great. Great. Exciting. I wonder, with the safe route schools, I was just thinking a little bit more along that and how we were saying not Roslyn and maybe not Roslyn yet, but something possibly in the future is incorporating the Safe Route to Schools grant for that path that we want to build, because technically, do Crescent Creek kids go to Roslyn?
They don't. No, they do. We know.
No,
sorry.
No, they do not. It goes to Burgess Road and on the other side.
It's on the other side.
I met with the school district folks not that long ago, and we talked about this. I'm pretty sure the Crescent Creek kids do go to Roslyn, because in my mind, they're a lot closer to Lapine Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
You walk down and across Huntington, you're there. Either way, they're not really connected well to either school. And I know that one of the conversations we had with the school district is that there's going to continue to be a lot more growth in that central area. Can you work on your boundaries so that these students can walk to school? You know, whether that's even the north end, when that develops, they go to Roslyn, and the south end, they go to Lapine. I don't know.
Anyway, it just might be something to think about for future, because I know Safe Routes to Schools is something that comes up, you know, annually, usually, and so maybe in the future, if we're thinking about that path and another possible funding agency, then we may be thinking about that.
Make sure we include Kegel.
Yeah, sure, that's right.
What we need to remember is that hopefully we get this project, and then next go around, ODOT, we need to get ODOT to apply for the multi-use path. And we can piggyback on that, the city and or the Urban Renewal Agency. But they can come bring money to the table for the portion between First Street and Wikia. And then if we partner on the other components, we might be able to do the whole thing in 1 or 2 years. And then that not only allows people to walk to school or whatnot, but it also is, you know, for running or biking
mm-hmm.
or whatever it may be. So that's an important piece. They had mentioned about applying for it this go around. And because we haven't yet cleared up the IGA with ODOT for the path in their right of way, and then we haven't gotten a commitment yet from the county on an easement on that. That kind of went, let's put that on the back burner for now. We've got some downtown things that we should clean up. And again, thinking these are kind of lower, more competitive at this point.
Sure.
The original conversation we had a few months ago, was like, this is kind of fast and furious, but let's just get a project in, put our name in the hat. And if we don't get it, there's going to be 3 more years of Safe Routes to School funding. If we come back, then they're going to go, oh yeah, Lapine, you know, they applied here, we didn't award it to them, now we need to award them something. So it's all kind of
great.
In the formula.
Mm-hmm.
Good, great point, though, yeah, for sure.
Okay, any other discussion on that? No? Any other matters? I don't think we had any others.
I wanted to put this up, and I don't know if I should have put it in, so tell me if I'm off because I didn't add for added agenda items. But are we limited to the 7 people on this committee because we voted for a person and she's not here? And I'm thinking we maybe need to open it up again a little bit. So are we limited to the 7? Is that...
Well, we are limited to the 7. That's in our rules, the overlying rules of the committee, and it's designated that 3 of those 7 are council members,
right?
And then the rest can be a certain number are inside the city limits.
It's
owner a business or.
Yeah, it's the bylaws we adopted basically a year ago. No. Spring was the board will be comprised of between 5 and 7 members.
Right.
Those were the parameters, the bookends. And then what was decided is that, as you said correctly, the 3 council members and then 4
community
members who either live, work, or own a business within 5 miles of the city limits. One of those 3. Now, I don't mean I don't see why we maybe couldn't go to 9, but you know, at some point too, you kind of get the size of it's like, it's kind of tough.
I just had wondered with, you know, some of, and Connie has brought this up, you know, when we have absenteeism and things, if it, you know, would make it more complicated or less complicated. So I just wanted to bring up a discussion a little bit, because unfortunately, I was late last.
Well, it wasn't my decision to hire the person or to accept the person's application that we did, but at the same time, I would have expected her to be here for the first meeting, and so it's a little disheartening that they aren't, because the whole reason that we opened that position is because the other person was unable to be here. So
yeah.
We have good quality discussion when we have participation, and when we don't have participation,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're lacking that other person being involved.
And I know the candidate that did not make it is, if we open it up, is going to reapply.
I would suggest that we set, and I don't think it is articulated in the bylaws, I think it just kind of is a little squishy, but I would probably recommend just setting a pretty firm attendance policy.
I think
just
that's
say
important.
If you miss 2 in 6 months or whatever the number you want it to be is, sorry, you know, and just so everyone's aware of the expectations.
And there are, and I agree with that, because there are unexpected things.
Of course.
But to not communicate when you are a brand new member that I'm not going to be here, you know, regardless of, unless it's catastrophic and we can give a chance for catastrophic, but
not auspicious.
Do we want to, do you all want to discuss right now kind of what that attendance policy makes sense as in terms of what a commitment is on the part of a board member or the expectation on the part of the board? I'm going to do that now, later.
We're here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, and it's been a short meeting, so let's have this discussion.
Have the aspect does somebody just forget, or is it excused? I think, like we do on the chamber, if it's an excused absence, then it's no big deal. It's when they just don't show up.
Well, I think that you can, just to piggyback on that a little bit, is if it's an excused absence and you go to Arizona for 3 months out of the year or something, then that's not really going to work.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more of, we have a doctor's appointment or...
Yeah,
something.
I think
like
while you, you know, when you make the commitment to sit on this, because there's a lot of activity, you, unless it's a critical health issue, you're not making a doctor's appointment
mm-hmm.
on this meeting.
Right.
When you're on city
right.
council,
mm-hmm.
you're...
You know when to make those
appointments. Yeah, those kinds of things. And I think it's fair to say we all have things that come up and things happen. I mean, but do we have a, you know, do we have two, if you have 2 consecutive absences, then that is the consecutive absences that...
Well, I would say almost 2 consecutive and 3 within a year.
I agree.
3,
mm-hmm.
3 period within a year, you know.
Well, we do so much, and I can see the potential for the as we move forward to have more and more things that we discuss in a single meeting. And so you miss one, you've really kind of missed a lot. It's not like maybe some ongoing thing that, you know, we're moving on.
I like the idea of, you know,
2 consecutive and
3
in the course of a year. Yeah.
That's a change from what is in the laws right now. It does say that agency members, including the positions of chair and vice chair, may also be removed from office after 3 consecutive unexcused absences. Prior to that, it says that, you know, anyone may be removed at any time by a vote of the majority of the entire board. I guess the one piece I couldn't hear on is the, I probably missed it, the unexcused versus excused,
yeah.
or just if you're absent, you're absent.
So if you're absent, you're
absent. And so I guess the board would have to decide somebody falls and breaks their back and they're not coming. I mean, then you say, you're out. I mean, that's something that...
Well, I think that falls in line with what happened with Dan. I don't think he had, I mean, his heart was to be here, but he was physically incapable of
right.
being here. So did he want to resign? No, not necessarily, but at a point on a board and what's best for the board, we have to make that decision.
Well,
it's the same with the back. Come reapply when you're healthy again.
Yeah, and I agree that the snowbird thing is an issue. This is, we're
it
not,
doesn't work.
Yeah, we're not a snowbird organization. We might have been 10 years ago.
And when we started out, we were, you know, we met three times a year or something,
yeah,
you know.
But
or,
we've got a lot going on,
yeah.
And I foresee that we will have a lot more.
And, you know, the new person did just get signed on, and there could have been a, didn't get on her schedule correctly, you know, there wasn't follow-up with her. I know one thing that's huge for me that with the staff turnover at the city has been really hard is previous staff has always sent me a meeting request. So it goes right on my calendar, and that is not happening. So meeting request. That is huge for me because, you know, like Vicki, I'm a business owner as well as involved in many things. And you know, when the meeting comes out, the reminder for the meeting that it has that meeting request attached to it so that it can end up on my calendar. I would rather have it end up on there five times than not at all. You know?
This
so.
Is a quibble, but I think, Ann, you were the one who said, or whoever said, rather than three in a year, I would advocate 2 in 6 months. I know that's only one more a year, but that's just a subtle thing. So I would advocate if you miss more than 2 every 6 months, or 3 in a year.
2 consecutive.
So the consecutive part, and also you can't miss more than 2 every 6 months.
Have to be unexcused in one of those definitions. You know, if you don't let the rest of the group know that you're not going to be there, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any respect with the rest of the people
and
that,
their time.
That are on this board, this agency.
If we had that would be like if I didn't show up today or Ann didn't show up today and then there's no quorum and everybody's come for a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Staff's here.
You know, I've missed a couple, but I usually contact the city and let them know that, you know, my house is being destroyed today. I need to be there.
No, I think we all have things that come
yeah.
up.
But let somebody know on the city that you're not going to be here.
Well, because it, like you said, it makes a difference. Had we not known, you know, certain things, then we may not have a quorum.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think like my thing today, I didn't know until late this afternoon I was gonna push a button at 3 o'clock. So yeah, that's
well that's last month what happened to me, why I was late. It just
so consensus is that we want no more than 3 in a year,
two consecutive absences. So we're gonna, so we'll make a motion and then we can discuss it if we need to. I'm gonna make a motion that 2 consecutive absences, and including 3 in a year, and they will be removed from the Urban Renewal Agency, and if they choose to reapply, they can, or take that out of the motion. But
I think we need something to Craig's point on whether or not they're excused or
yeah.
unexcused.
Okay. 2, I make a motion.
Scratch the last one. We're giving Kelly practice.
What'd she say?
Connie wants 5 things on her calendar to send and scratch everything I've said. No, I'm making a motion that within the urban renewal, if there are 2 unexcused absences within consecutive absences within 6 months or 3 in a year, that member is removed from urban renewal.
Is removed rather than excused.
Yeah, removed. Excused, removed.
There are no language.
Yeah.
The language
yeah.
needs to be for it.
Yeah, make sure.
Clean that up.
Yeah.
Do we have a second?
I second that motion.
Any further discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And opposed? All right, the ayes have it.
So
I think that was important.
Yeah, I do, because we, and you're right, you can get the calendar and you get this, you know, there is a lot of information. So you know, if for some reason she didn't connect, that's fine. But if she did get it and then she didn't think it was a priority, because this is it's really important to communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I don't know her, so I don't know if she knows the quorum rules or any of that. You know, that by not showing up, that could be a possibility that the meeting gets canceled. So.
Right. Well, and I think too, we are dealing with taxpayers' dollars.
Mm-hmm.
We are dealing with you know, policies and procedures
mm-hmm.
for the city.
Absolutely.
It's not just a casual commitment. No.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On that note, let's move on to public comment, which there is no public in attendance still. So, staff comments.
Just want to remind everybody, I already mentioned it, the Town Hall Barbecue on the 25th of this month. That's going to be pretty quick, from 5 to 6:30 here at City Hall. So please be here if you can for that.
Can I ask something about that? I just had a note about that Town Hall Barbecue. I'm sorry. I forget that I need to wear my earpiece. Just a thought that came up when we were talking about the Town Hall Barbecue, and there's so many of us that are going to be there that are involved with different aspects. I wondered if we could do something like, hi, my name is Vicki, and I'm involved, ask me about urban renewal.
Yeah, I think we should do...
Or, hi, I'm Craig, ask me about city council and urban renewal.
Yeah.
You know, because it would spark conversations with people other than people they recognize.
Well, and they might connect, you know, oh, Anne's here because she's director at the chamber, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Vicky's here because she does other things.
Yeah, they don't,
you know?
Maybe, yeah, that makes that connection with the city.
City.
Yeah,
city.
I don't know, just something that came to me that said, ask me about, you know, what position we play in the city. You know, even the city staff ask me about public works.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know that as we're inviting the community in what our roles are in the city.
So you put that on the name tag?
Yeah,
great idea.
Yeah, it is.
You could.
Corey could say, ask me about anything.
And you know,
I like it.
Kelly is new, and I think, you know, that's really good. You know, with Kelly, I'm new. I'm the new administrative assistant. You know, because then people start to connect that way, and it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
I like that idea. There's variations that we could put on that as well. I think back to the LOC conference where you get the little colored additions.
Ribbons. Yeah, that ribbons are
good
idea.
You could color code ribbon it where it's like, you know, you're on the council and urban renewal, so you have two, you
that's
know,
cool
maybe
idea.
Even layer involved
great.
At the chamber, involved
yeah.
at the Newbury
yeah.
Eagle,
mm-hmm.
business owner. I mean, you could do,
yeah,
you know, come up with 10 pretty easily that just say, you know, council member.
And I know
whatever.
It's quick
and
coming
maybe,
up, but I
yeah.
think we can make
it's
it happen.
Yeah. And make sure Craig gets a little ribbon that says, ask me about cake.
I literally.
I can tell nothing much is happening. It's all downtown.
No.
Safe
sorry,
after school.
I didn't
well, get it in any time you can.
No, I think that's a great idea.
It was something that came to me when we were talking about that meeting, and I thought, you know, how, because we talked about at that meeting that we would have either different booths or different areas, and that part's not necessarily to coming together, but I think being able to identify different people that are here and what our role is would be good.
It's a great idea.
So that's something we can use. We should hang on to it and use
in the
it
future.
Other,
other
meetings.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was going to offer to make some more things, but they'll do whatever.
We'll send out an update. It is going to be a little fast and furious. I did get confirmation from the Lions that they're willing to do it. We just need to coordinate on food and kind of the ingredients.
We'll be breezing in the Oregon State Chamber Conference is the 24th and 25th, and I think it's over like 2:33-ish.
Oh, okay.
And it's in Springfield, so
so
there'll be this streak coming from
I just made it like 2 hours and 4 minutes from downtown Eugene. So
no, I can't.
Terry's
you're not Terry's
going.
No.
Oh, I'm going to Houston.
Yeah, Connie's going. No, my, Gerald's surgery ended up being Thursday.
Okay. Well, let's get back on track here.
No
worries.
No, it's all good. On that note, if you come up with any other ideas or things to emphasize or whatnot, just send me an email. Appreciate that. Other items, I don't know if there are any other items. Thank you for considering the Save Rouse's School contribution and support kind of last minute. But again, I think that's a pretty cool opportunity, so appreciate that.
You're new, but staff comments, do you have anything?
Happy to be here.
Yeah, welcome, Kelly.
Thank you.
It's our second day.
Yes,
yeah.
Day two. So they just threw me right in this meeting, but I'm pretty sure I over-notated.
Okay. It's always a good thing.
But so I'll whittle the next few days.
Where do you come from? Have you been working?
Yes, so I was working at the clinic.
Okay.
Before here. And I was in billing, doing some admin, but mostly billing.
Cool.
Customer service.
Okay.
You know, cranky people, usually.
Well, we're excited to have
so
you.
So not much difference between
cranky
people.
You know, so far everyone's been, I'm sure there will be, but so far everyone's been really nice that walked through the door, so.
It's been good.
Good first week, first couple days.
First couple days, yes.
All right, board member comments. Anybody have anything? I just want to bring up one other thing that I found very interesting at Lee and Morgan City's conference. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen Jason Roberts talk, but he's been on TED Talks and Build a Better Block projects and things like that. And I love him because he's a rebel.
So what?
He's a rebel.
Oh, that's
so good. So if you haven't looked up his some of his YouTube videos and some of his talks on like TED Talks, I encourage you to do so because his platform is that we want our communities to be a certain way and yet we don't build them that way. And so he will go in overnight and put in a cafe or a park in an abandoned area or an abandoned building, and he does it in a way that's removable. You know, he does it with kids' finger paint or, you know, duct tape for the lines for the bike trails or bike paths and things like that. But they do, they've grown and they've gotten a lot bigger. But he fashions it after like European cafes, sidewalk cafes, and the feedback from the community is that's exactly what we want, or that's exactly the way it used to be. And the other feedback from the communities is that it brings them together. And so I was really inspired. I was really inspired to look at how we could possibly do something like that here. And there are areas in our urban renewal district where we could do something like that and bring that inspiration and see where it goes. And Corey and I talked a little bit about it, and Melissa, even Dawn was excited about it when we were there. I mean, the guy's an incredible speaker, and it gets you pumped. But if we were to do something like that, I almost wonder if urban renewal couldn't play a role in that, in bringing in this idea of a park. You know, maybe it's across from Prairie House, where the people would love to get out and interact with families with kids that could come down and play, or, you know, have a coffee or whatever. But just to take a look at it, see what you guys think. Maybe
Jason
we can chat about Jason Roberts and Build a Better Block projects.
Okay.
But ultimately, it was a great presentation. I don't know if you have anything.
I was just going to add, when we send out the presentation, we'll send you a link to
his there.
Website.
Oh, cool.
Or something. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about
his that. Should have been recorded as well and should be on LSU's
website.
Yeah,
so we'll look for that.
Yeah, just...
You know, I think that's a really good point to bring up, because sometimes when you are building something, and I think that a lot of our committee work that we did for our codes and things was we were trying to get to the end product and work backwards instead of we'll take what we can get and build on it. And I think that's in the past a lot of what has happened with our community. And so getting to that end product and building backwards is really a great approach to it. And that will, I think that could help us look too when we start getting applications for our storefront, is our end product, and then move backwards instead of, okay, let's give them $500 for paint and let them do it. No, let's look at the whole thing and,
right.
and go backwards. And that inspiration is really important to do that.
Yeah, it was one of those speakers that it was a funny, almost nobody in that room knew what to do with it, because you're looking at the planners and the city council and the mayors, and those aren't typically the rebels in the community.
Those are the people that he was sticking it to.
Right, exactly. And so when you're looking at it, it's like, I mean, you can't help but be inspired in that position, but at the same time, like, how do I do that? And yet, you're in the, you know, of course, like, I don't know the role that the city would have in that.
How would we even do it? Yeah.
But I think that there's a way to approach it that we could do it as an inspirational project, and it doesn't have to stay, but it's enough to inspire people to go, no, that's what we want in our community, even if it's enough to inspire people to get involved.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's not the one that's going to build this cafe block or whatever, at least it's enough to get people to speak up and say, no, that's really what I want.
Well, a lot of people, you know how hard it is for people to envision what it is. They have a sense that we're missing something, but we're not quite sure what it is. And if you build something like that, you go, yeah, that's what it was. That's what
quite creative. Yeah. So if you guys wouldn't mind taking, kind of looking into it a little bit.
I've heard him.
You're right.
Yeah. He's amazing. You want to bring him right here.
Oh, I had my picture taken with him. I just told him, I was like, oh, you inspired my inner rebel. Like, I love you. All right. I guess adjourned, or motion to adjourn.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
And I second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
I had to laugh. That was something Melissa made fun of us. Like, you can't. No, you don't really need a motion to adjourn. So I wasn't even sure.
Oh, don't you?
Did she?
Well, she goes, what are you going to do if they say no? It's not like they're going to sit there all night.
That is so true. She makes a good point. Yeah. No,
you
I don't want to adjourn.
For, I
think it needs
to be official. I don't know.
Yeah. She said that they never did that in Sandpoint or whatever. So I'm disappointed you're not going to go to Houston.
I am
was
too,
last minute
because, you know,
in, so.
Oh, well, you know, because I actually, you know, 30 some odd years ago, we lived outside of Houston.
Oh.
And I still have family there, so I was looking forward to imparting some of my Houston knowledge, you know, because I look like
that.
You've got
a
good name. Yeah, and I was just there a month or so ago. So.